This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
The Burt Show.
I got to tell you guys, we have started the Burt Show's baby idol competition.
Read the bottom.
And the pictures are starting. The pictures are starting to come in.
Age 9 months.
And granted,
God, stop looking at me, freak.
Granted, a lot of you guys do have very cute kids. And we need to explain this whole thing to you that a couple of days ago, we started talking about, how did we even get into the conversation about good-looking babies?
Well, because a listener had emailed us, and she was being honest. She said that she thought that her two kids were cute enough to go into modeling, but she wasn't sure whether she was that mother who thought her children are just beautiful, or if they really were. And she wanted our advice personally to start off with on whether we thought her kids were cute. So at least she came to the table honest and say, am I just being an overzealous mother, or are my kids really cute?
So what we decided to do is put it in your hands, and we put her baby's pictures up on the website. You guys went there, took a look at them, and then you called us and you gave her honest opinions on what you think her kids look like, if they were cute or not. But what we noticed, like, there was a common thread with these calls that they couldn't just give a compliment and get off the phone.
Right.
They had to add, but my kids are better looking. And that's where Baby Idol started. This is the first call that we took from that initial mom. All right, so tell us about your kids here.
The youngest one is 15 months, and the second one is 2.5.
All right, and you've been looking at your kids, and like every parent, or at least most parents.
Well, it's like every parent. You know, every parent thinks their kid's great, and beautiful, but it just seems like everywhere we go, my husband and I, that we take the kids, is like, your kids are so cute, they need to do this and they need to do that. And it's like, let them be kids. But I've been thinking about it, it's like, well, really? I see kids on the commercials and on the TVs, and it's like, well, I think my kids are just as cute as they are.
So here's what we want to do. This is going to take a little bit of good timing here. So we're hoping that you're listening to us and you're by a computer right now. And what we want you to do is go to allthehitsq100.com, click on the Burt Show, and then go to, I think it's the second link there, and you will see Karen's children.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look at them, and then call us up and give us your honest opinion. Mm-hmm. If you think the kids are really good looking and you think they have a future in modeling, absolutely tell Karen that. If you don't think that they would be great on the inside of some magazines, then you probably need to call us and just give Karen your honest opinion. Natalie, you're on All the Hits Q100.
I think they're okay. I think my kid is so darn cute.
Like, why do you think that your children are any better looking than Karen's?
I guess I just look at my kid and see myself. So that's why I think, if I think my kid is cute, I'm probably seeing some of me in them.
So her kids are cute, but not as cute as yours.
Or as you.
Sure.
Or as you.
We'll say that, sure.
Hey, Amanda.
I want to challenge her because I think my kids are cuter. I could never say a child is ugly ever. Her kids are beautiful, but my kids, her kids ain't got nothing on my kids.
And that's a great example right there, because all of these parents were calling up saying the same thing. You got good-looking kids, but my kids are way better looking.
Mm-hmm.
So we devised Baby Idol, and we're going to run Baby Idol the same way American Idol is run, pretty much.
Yeah, we're going to start off with our top 12, right? Isn't it top 12?
No, I think it's gone up to the top 120.
We didn't know how successful this would be because we didn't know if parents wanted to put their children through this kind of criticism, but apparently you guys have no problem doing that.
So if it's going to be that big, then we got to do it like they do when, you're going to Hollywood. So we have the group that's going to Hollywood. Then we have the group, that's like the A group, and they're all in one room.
Yeah.
And we tell the one room of babies, no, you're going home, or the next room of babies that they're moving on. And then it would get down to the top 12.
Exactly.
And then we'd narrow it down and vote somebody off week by week, and we'd have a bottom three and all the above. And then we will find Atlanta's baby idol.
So if you want your kid to be in on the Burt Show's Baby Idol, you have to email us the picture and some contact information to get them in on Baby Idol.
And from what we've seen so far, most of the kids come in are way homely. So if you know your kid is good looking, go ahead, and it's going to be an easy one to win. There's somebody like...
This thing is here for the taking.
I understand the fact that as a parent, in your eyes, your baby is beautiful, but you got to look at your kid sometime and go...
See, that's called unconditional love, Bert. It's when the parent thinks their baby is beautiful when they're really
But you hard. Can acknowledge that it's beautiful, but disproportionate,
I wonder if we could find, can we find anybody listening right now We can put you on the voice disguiser, and you can honestly say as a mom, I think dads can do this, but I don't think any mom could say, my kid's ugly.
I don't think so either.
I don't think you have it in you. 404-741-1005. You might believe it, but the words have never come out of your mouth that my child is ugly. Everybody believes that their child is absolutely
beautiful. Yeah, I guess they get older, then you start getting the haircuts where it's a little closer to their face, try to cover some of stuff up, but you still never say that the kid is ugly.
Get them all the shirts and all the sweatshirts that have hoods.
Have hoods, have hats. You know, all of a sudden your kid starts wearing hats young. No. But you never say they're ugly.
Only take them out at night.
If Hayden's head hadn't shrunk back down, you guys would have kept a hat on him.
I was really nervous about that. When Hayden was born.
I would have said it if he didn't.
He wouldn't have been able to keep a hat on that. He would have wrapped his head like Indy Ari.
Yeah.
Been like Marge Simpson meets Indy Ari.
Yeah, little cone hat.
Yeah.
Hayden looked like the cartoon, the stereotypical cartoon, like when you hit him on top of the head and they get that instant,
really,
I mean,
did.
It was a 7-inch banana on the top of his head.
Thing.
He was
poor little thing.
Very, very ugly newborn.
Now, answer me this, because I don't have children. So when the baby's in the carrier and they have the blanket over it, that's truly to keep the sun out and keep the baby quiet, or are they really just trying to hide an ugly baby?
I think you can tell by the those little papoose things that parents use.
Right.
Like if the baby
is... baby Bjorns.
Whatever. If the baby is in the front where the parent can see the baby and the baby is facing out,
then it's a cute baby.
Then it's a cute baby. But if the baby's on the back, like upside down, kind of just half strapped in there, a little piece of duct tape,
or in the front facing the chest,
right?
You know,
covered up. Jennifer Wilbanks towel over there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's sleeping right now. You can't look at him. But really, they're trying to smother them in their chest so that you don't take a look at the face.
Hey, Tammy.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you admit that your child is ugly?
Well, when my fourth child was born, I have five. But when my fourth one was born, my mother and her father were standing at the foot of the bed, and their smiles just fell off their face, and they raised her up, and I was like, oh, my God, what is that?
Oh, no.
See, I'm a lot different than most, because I don't think there are no newborns that are pretty. I think all newborns are ugly.
But not as ugly as she was. She looked like a lizard.
Really?
So it was really scary. Like, you know on that show Alien Nation a long time ago?
Mm-hmm.
When the lady gave birth?
Yeah,
that's kind of what she was.
Oh, look, there's the woman with the lizard child.
Yeah.
So can you say that now? My kid is ugly?
No, she's not. Well, I mean, she's not gorgeous now, but she doesn't look like a lizard anymore.
Can you say it?
But she's ugly?
Yeah.
She's not that ugly.
She's not that ugly.
Mothers can't do it.
It's not part of a woman's makeup.
Well, because you feel like you're betraying your child if you call it ugly. It's all right. That's what family's for.
That's what unconditional love is about.
If your mama can't say you're pretty, nobody can.
That's what you said. That's what aunt's for. Aunt's are there to make sure that you know that your kid's kind of ugly.
Now, let me ask you this, because we said that even parents that know their kid is ugly, like you know your child is ugly, but the words won't come out of your mouth, but you know.
Actually, I don't think she's pretty, but everybody else says she's the prettiest child I have.
Well that's because they have to, because she's all cross-eyed and whatnot.
They're overcompensating.
No,
but everybody's beautiful.
I don't think so, but everybody else seems to think she's really pretty. She looks like her daddy. Maybe that's why I don't think she is.
So what are you saying?
Throw it on the other spouse.
So what are you saying? Your husband is ugly?
My ex-husband.
Oh,
yes.
So she's a constant reminder of that ugly lizard face guy you used to be married to.
That's right.
And sleep with. You slept with Lizard Man. Then you had Lizard Baby. But you're right, they can't say it.
You can't say it.
When she's backed up against the wall, who did she throw it to? Her ex-husband.
The ex-husband.
She looks like him.
You should try to cut off her tail and see if it grows back. That's what happens to real lizards.
Maybe she'll slither away too fast.
She's cute, you know, she's kind of ugly and all, but what really annoys me is when she sheds her skin and leaves it just lying in the living room.
Hey, Robin.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Hi.
Can you be the only mom to say that my son or my daughter is ugly?
I have said many times that my son was ugly. Now, he's 18 now, and he's not, but I did say it when he was a baby.
He
was ugly.
You don't win the prize.
Not what we're looking for.
You have to be, it has to be a current ugly situation. It has to be in a current state of ugliness.
A current ugly baby.
Okay, I gotcha.
Current state of ugliness.
Sorry.
Okay.
When did your son turn the corner from ugly to good looking?
Actually, he had a really big head when he was born, and he was very fair complected, so you could see, like, the veins in his head. He looked like an alien.
Yeah.
And but then when he got hair, about two, he got really
lizard
cute.
Alien.
Yeah, I've seen those babies in at like Northside that almost look like they belong in a science class, that they're teaching you where the veins are in a head.
That you was my son. Translucent. And he had to have a hat on all the time because his head would get sunburned.
Right, because you're protecting his head. That's where
the hat. A hat with a really big brim that went all the way down to his waist.
Right. Now, Bert, is it safe to say, because, you know, going on your theory, that nobody should take pictures of their newborn and show them? Like, have you ever, you know, there have been the new mothers that have the little book and they want to show you the newborn pictures. And I agree with you. I don't know of any newborn pictures that are really that
pretty. Let me tell you what picture I never want to see.
Wait a week or two.
Because I never want to see the picture of the newborn still damp. In the towel.
Yeah, with the stuff still on it. Yeah.
I'm the mom looking like she just got out of fighting battle.
When the baby still has all that, like, jelly, that, like, the jelly or the gefilte fish stuff. Huh? The gefilte fish, the stuff that's around the gefilte fish.
The residue.
That stuff, that's...
Mom stuff.
I don't want to see that either.
I'm sorry, Abraham, what did you just say?
Sorry, those of you that aren't of Jewish lineage wouldn't get that joke. Just us Jewish people. Good morning, Angela.
Hi.
We'll only be taking calls from Jacob and Rebecca for the rest of the show.
What's up, Angela?
I was just calling to tell you guys, you're talking about how a mother will never tell her kids they're ugly.
Uh-huh.
My grandmother, my entire life, has told my mother, you know, grandkids are the greatest, but every one of her kids and every one of her grandkids, save one, are the ugliest children and the ugliest people she has ever in her life seen.
Grandparents don't count.
Right, grandparents don't count.
The
words, my child is currently ugly, is ugly, cannot come out of a woman's mouth.
I think that's the beauty of
being
a mother.
I think we're proving that right here.
Hi, Laura.
Hello.
Good morning. Say this, my child is ugly.
You cannot make me say that.
I can't do it.
But I will tell you this. For the first year of his life, he looked like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons.
Doesn't count.
The first year. How old is he now?
He's going on 4.
Uh-huh. And he's the cutest boy in the world.
He's
the
best. He can say his ABCs in Spanish, French, and Italian.
He's so smart.
No, I'm not going to go that far. It's the first year, Mr. Burns. Every time I looked at him, you know, I'm thinking, where's Mr. Smithers? Where's, you know.
Is your child currently ugly?
Is it? I wonder.
Is your child currently ugly?
No.
No.
Okay.
I wonder, would a mother say my child is ugly or my child is stupid? Which would come out of her mouth first?
Oh.
Ugly.
I think
stupid.
I think she'd say stupid before she'd say ugly.
Does it matter? I think this might have everything to do with gender.
Well, she, you know, the reason I thought about it is because when I said, he's the smartest boy in the world, and Jim was talking about, you know, being bilingual, and she said, well, I wouldn't go that far. So that made me wonder if, I bet a mother would say that her child is stupid first.
Good morning, Natalie.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
These words must come out of your mouth. My child is ugly, for us to continue this conversation with you.
My child is kind of ugly.
You can't do it.
You can't.
My child is ugly.
Right now.
My child is ugly. She's not that best looking.
What the hell is wrong with you? Get off our phone.
You're no mother.
Yeah, who are you?
Parents.
How dare you?
Tell us about your ugly kid.
But you got to turn your radio
not
down.
Not that good looking. She just isn't. There's something wrong with her. She's just ugly. But I love her a lot, but she's just ugly.
How old is she?
She's about to be 2 next week.
What's wrong with her?
I don't know. She looks nothing like me. She looks nothing like her father. It's just, I'm kind of ask myself sometimes what happened to her.
Is her eyes a little too far apart? Is the nose in the wrong place? Like, what's wrong?
It's just, I don't know. I can send you a picture if y'all want.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes, we would like to see
your
child.
We'd like to meet this child whose own mother said she is a disgrace.
Oh.
Do you have other children?
Say what?
Do you have other children?
No, she's my only one so far.
So you're going to do it again, right? And get a pretty one?
Try to get it right.
Yes, I have to get it right.
Now, do you really do any, I mean, knowing how you feel about your child, is there anything you do to keep her from other people seeing her?
No, people tell me she's cute, but to me, she's just ugly.
Natalie, let me ask you this and be totally honest with me.
Yes.
Is your motivation for having a second child to have a better looking child than your daughter?
Yes.
At least she was honest.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, at least she was honest.
Will you please send us that picture?
I will.
Thank you.
We cannot post that because no. What if that ever came back up in that child's life?
No, we won't do that. We won't post it.
We won't post it. No.
No, you can't do that.
Absolutely not. And answer the phone.
No, only we deserve to see it. No, because
the child's so ugly that the parent must create another.
What if that came back up again in that child's life? That'd be devastating. We'd ruin somebody's life.
Yeah.
What if she has another child that's even uglier?
You just keep going until you get one that's even remotely good looking.
Then she jogs, takes a cab, cuts her hair, and goes to Albuquerque without the kids.
The Burt Show.
So Desperate Housewives this weekend. Oh, that was a good one. Sunday was a really good one.
Every single show is a good one. It's my only appointment television. I love Desperate Housewives.
It seems like in this episode, like every storyline, we got some nugget of information out that we didn't know before, you know? And the storyline with Lynette and her husband, Tom, I thought was a really interesting one. A really interesting one with a lot of interesting questions involved in it also.
Well, we found out this last episode that Tom started dating Lynette when he was cheating on his girlfriend, Annabelle. So Tom and this woman, Annabelle, are dating. He cheats on Annabelle with Lynette, ends up marrying Lynette. Now, so far, we don't know about any infidelity. Lynette knows about no infidelity with her husband, Tom. But she finds out in this episode that Tom has just rehired Annabelle at his company and did not tell Lynette about it for 3 months. So in Lynette's little diabolical plan is, the whole cliche of keep your friends close, but keep your enemies closer. She invites Annabelle over for dinner.
And then she starts doing all sorts of ridiculous things to prove to the ex-girlfriend that their marriage is really, really strong. Mm. And her husband is like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
So this is quite a show you put on tonight.
Show.
The boys' paintings, all those references to how happy we are.
What's wrong with subtly reminding Annabelle that you're happily married?
Because it wasn't subtle, and it's an insult to me.
I did not mean it that way.
Are you so insecure that you have to pull that crap?
Keep your voice down.
It doesn't matter if she has feelings for me, as long as I am not interested. Have I ever, ever given you any reason to doubt me?
Anyone is capable of anything. The first time we ever met, you were cheating.
With you. Cheating with you.
It's a pattern of behavior.
Ah, give me a break.
Well, what am I supposed to do? You hire your old girlfriend and you don't tell me about it for 3 months?
I could have told you from day one and you would still be jumping down my throat. No, Annabelle is ancient history.
She's in the next room.
How long do we have to be married, Lynette? How long until you actually trust me?
All right, so here's the question I want to ask women here. Because we've asked the question before in relationships that if your husband or your boyfriend ever screwed around on you, did you ever fully 100% trust him again? And you guys called up and you, I mean, have said like 100% of you said never quite entirely. Like we might have gotten back together again, our marriage survived and things are okay and things are actually great. But if he's just late, you know, by 30 seconds, I start thinking, okay, who's he screwing around with? So the trust was never quite restored. So here's a question in listening to that clip that I have for you women is that if at one point you used to be the other woman, so he was dating somebody else, saw you, was overwhelmed, and then started a relationship with you while he was still dating or married to somebody else, and then ended up dumping the current girlfriend for you. So you were the other woman, and things have worked out really well with you guys. Do you trust him 100% in your relationship? Because as Lynette says here, he's shown a pattern of infidelity. So do you ever fully, fully trust the guy, you know?
Or were you just so special that it was destiny and then you were meant to be together despite the fact that someone else was there?
Because here he's saying, "I will, in your eyes, I will always be guilty of infidelity, even though you're the one I screwed around on." Now, I think if I think if I'm him... It's pretty easy to turn it around also. Because is she trustworthy?
She's the mistress. Yeah, she knew what she was getting into too.
So she ended up screwing around with a guy that was in a relationship also. So he could say the exact same thing. So how would you answer that?
I don't know. That's hard to tell because you can't really blame somebody for something that they haven't done in your relationship. You know, you can't blame him for infidelity or be suspicious of activity that's never happened. But I wonder if that would always be nagging in your mind.
It would have to be.
It's always got to be there.
Because to me, it's like a, is it, some people would look at that as his character. If he, you know, if he cheated before, if it didn't mean much to him before, even if it was me or not me, then it's a character flaw in him.
I have thought about it in relationship to Britney Spears and Kevin Federline, because, you know, Kevin wasn't married to his children's mother, Shar Jackson. They were just dating, but she was pregnant with his second child when he left her for Britney Spears. So I wonder, now that Britney's pregnant, does she in the back of her mind consistently worry that Kevin Federline's going to leave her while she's pregnant? Because you know what? He did it before.
That's a great question. Hey, Marianne.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up?
Nothing. I have a story of my own about this. My boyfriend of 3 years, we met while he was dating somebody else. And I never thought we were going to end up together. I just thought, you know, he's really cute. So, and I knew about it. I knew about his girlfriend. And she moved away for a little while. He said he was going to wait for her, but we ended up dating. And we're together till this day. But we always have, like, problems in our relationship just because of that, because I know that. He did that, and he probably will do it again.
So even though you're the one he left her for, it
doesn't matter.
There's still distrust there.
That pattern of behavior that what's her face is talking about, Lynette.
All right, thank you. Good morning, Anna. You're on All the Hits Q100.
Good morning. I wanted to let you guys know I had met a guy, and he left the other woman for me. And we're happily together, just like your last caller, but you always have a little... You know, if he's out or whatever, you always kind of wonder, because if he left somebody else for you, he can always leave you for somebody else.
Now, do you think, I mean, because I want to ask you, since you were the other woman, do you feel like you're not as guilty as him because you weren't with somebody even though you were the mistress and knew what you were doing? Like, why should he trust you too?
Oh, and we've talked about it, you know, and I'm like, well, we each have our own issues, and if you can put yours aside, I can put mine aside. It's hard. It's hard, but, you know, I'm not that special that he might not up and leave me one day, you know? I mean, she thought she was pretty special, too, and then he left her. So you just never know. It's always kind of in the back of your mind.
Because to me, it's not necessarily a pattern of behavior of cheating as it is being really attracted to something new. There's kind of two levels there, you know, because you were the new thing. It was like new and fresh and exciting. And he was so overwhelmed by that new, fresh, exciting thing that he took off and went to it. So then once you become kind of old... You know, old news, not as new, not as fresh, not as exciting or whatever, and a little bit more comfortable, a little bit more routine. Is he going to be attracted enough to the new, fresh, exciting thing to go leave you for?
It keeps you on your toes, definitely.
Well, it's good. Yeah. That's the way a healthy relationship should be. Everybody should be on edge.
Everybody should be paranoid.
Right. Nervous all the time.
So what does it say about you, though? I mean, what...
I don't know. I've struggled with that. It kind of goes back to the whole, you know, I've talked about it with my older sister, and, you know, she brings up the whole thing that I think Geller had on his show the other day, is cheating kind of a hereditary thing. And that's a whole other thing you guys probably don't even want to open up on your show, but...
Yeah, it causes you need that heavy stuff to Geller.
It causes you to step back and look at yourself, and, you know, yeah, I knew about the other woman, and, you know... I mean, I know other women feel like I do. Sometimes you just can't help it.
So I don't buy that. What do you mean sometimes you just can't help it?
Well, he wasn't married. I mean, he was seeing someone else, and they were having some problems. And, you know, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have been as attracted to him as I was. But, I mean, what I'm saying is when you know you're attracted to somebody, and you can't help it.
You give in to that is what you did. Is you gave in. You can definitely control it. I mean, married people do it all the time. You control who you're attracted to and who you're not. You know, I mean, that's what it's about. And
I don't think you can control that. I don't think you can control who you're attracted to. I think you make a decision on how you're going to handle it.
Exactly. Yeah. What, you know, whether you give in to those urges or not is what you can control.
Hey, Sally, you're on All the Hits Q100.
Bert, honey, be a little realistic. Obviously, every woman has her little insecurities and all her little issues with, you know, trusting a guy. It's just in general, even if that never even happened, any girl's going to, like, you know, be a little hesitant to trusting her boyfriend. Like me, it happened to me also.
Wait. Stop.
Your
basic premise is that every woman is nervous that her man is going to cheat on her. So it doesn't...
I mean, it's always in the back of everybody's mind. Even with a guy, like a girl could be, you know, the dog in the relationship. But with me, it happened. Me and my boyfriend have been together 2.5 years now. When we first met, he never told me he had a girlfriend. He was still with her. And we were talking for a month, and we would be on the phone like all day, all night. So I don't even know when he had time for this girl. And, you know, we'd hang up the phone maybe like 2-3 hours out of the day, and then we'd be on the phone from like 8 o'clock at night till 6 in the morning. I had no clue he had a girlfriend. That the thought never even crossed my mind. And then after a month, he told me, well, what would you say if I told you that I had a girlfriend? Are you the type of girl that, you know, this and that? And I was like, what the hell? You have a girlfriend? And he was like, kinda. It's been really bad for the last, you know, 6 months, so I don't really consider her my girlfriend. I was like, well, have you broken up with her yet? And he said no.
And you stayed with him?
What was that?
And you stayed with him?
You know what? That's my biggest regret, because if I would have known how I was still going to feel till this day, 2.5 years later, about that situation, I would have never, never, ever, ever put myself through the hell that I've been through the past 2.5 years, because it stays on my mind constantly. I'm always thinking that he's cheating on me. And now my situation's even worse, because he has to go out of town, and he only comes to see me, you know, every weekend. He has to drive down a 3-hour drive to come see me every weekend. Mm-hmm. And I have no trust for him, and it's so hard for me. So I advise every girl out there that is in the situation to get out of it as soon as possible, because you never get over it, and it puts you through hell.
Do you think
the relationship's not going to last, because you're going to be annoyed and not trusting him the whole time, and it's always going to be in the back of your mind.
Right.
Because it goes kind of back what the last caller said about you can't help it. I mean, I agree with Bert. I don't think you can help who you're attracted to, and those can be extremely powerful feelings, but you have to see through that. I mean, like, for her regret, like, if you know, someone who's not emotionally attached to somebody, if they said, well, are you the kind of girl that minds if I'm dating somebody, like, all of us in here wince, like, well, what a jerk. But I mean, obviously, if you're in love with them, then you're, oh, well, you know, you'll do anything to stay with them.
Sally, if the basis for any healthy relationship, let's assume, is trust, and you don't have it with this guy, then why are you in the relationship for so long?
You know what, that's what I ask myself every day, and I've been going through so much crap lately, and it's killing me inside, and I don't even know what to do now. You know, it's hell. I mean, we've been going through problems the past couple of weeks that he's been absolutely disrespecting me. And it's not only a trust factor now. It's disrespect and the trust factor. So I don't even know what to do. I'm extremely confused at this point. And, I mean, I have nowhere to turn, because I didn't move to Atlanta that long ago. And I have no friends, nobody to get me away from him. And my mind is constantly on him all the time. So I have to find something to do to get my mind off of him to, you know, just so I can move on, because I know it's not going to work out. The trust issue is too strong. And
do you have children with this man?
No, no.
Mm-mm. No children with this man. And you're not engaged to him?
Yeah. I'm sorry, what was that?
Are you engaged to him?
He wants to come speak with my father, because where I'm from, it's like a respectful thing to come speak to the dad first and then get his approval and then give me a ring. Supposedly at the end of this month he wants to talk to my father, but
that's where everybody's from, honey. That's a respectful thing for everybody to do. But I think that you need to think about that before he makes that journey to see your father and propose the ring and all that other stuff. You gotta have a lot more respect for yourself than that.
Hey, I mean, you're going into this relationship, you marry this guy, you know it's gonna end up in a divorce, right?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like such a loser, because I don't know what to do, and I don't know how to move
on
and get over him.
It's okay to leave. I mean, the thing is, I think it's so funny how, and you know, I've done the same thing. You are in such turmoil, and you say your life is hell. Well, you know what? If you left, it might get better, because obviously where you are is not working.
Yeah,
I just keep giving myself excuses, like, you know, I can't leave because I'm so lonely.
Well, just leave. Like, you know, to me, like, you know, instead of, over, you know, like, just leave.
Be lonely for a little while.
Yeah, I mean it's okay.
Is the hell of being alone worse than what you're going through with this guy?
Probably not, but, you know, it's my situation, I feel, is a little different.
Why?
Because I work 24/7, I have no friends, I have nothing to do. You know, my parents are, you know, really, really strict, so, I mean, I'm 20 years old and I can't do anything without...
Can I tell you why you have no friends? It's probably, I mean, you don't work 24 hours a day. What you do is you work a lot, and every single moment you spend away from work and sometimes during work is obsessing over this guy and pleasing this guy. If you're single and you have time and you take control of your life, guess what? You get friends. Yeah. And you get true friends.
I have not slept in about 4 days, and the bags under my eyes. I mean, I look sick. Everyone keeps asking me, you know, are you sick? Are you okay?
Do you realize do you hear yourself? I mean, the thing is, leave.
He doesn't have any respect for you because you're not respecting yourself.
Yeah, so just
you're not taking care of yourself.
I know that.
You can do it. You can so do it.
It's okay.
You're 20 years old. You got your whole life ahead of you. And somebody's going to be head over heels in love with you and have absolutely no doubt in their mind they want to be with you.
Yeah. It's okay. I mean, really, once you leave, it's not your life's not going to fall apart. The problem is your life's falling apart now. Because you're
It's so hard to be strong, isn't it?
It's extremely hard.
It's so easy to be weak.
But at this point, I'm not even sure if it's real love or if I'm just used to him. And I want to just get over him. I want something to happen. I want to be put in a coma or something just so I can forget this guy ever existed in my life.
You know what? This is a part of life, you know? And the thing is, if you have to learn that if you're even questioning whether it's real love, then it's not. You know? You really don't love this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's okay to be single, and it's okay to go make new friends, and it's okay to go hang out with new people. It's okay.
And you know what? Everybody's been there. I remember being so insecure when I was with women, thinking, well, if I leave her, nobody's going to dig me as much as she does. There's no way I'm ever going to find somebody else like that. And I look back at it now, and I kind of laugh at it, because there's a million people out there that are going to dig you, you know?
Yeah, ladies, don't let the fear of being alone be the reason that you stay in a terrible relationship, because that's not what relationships should be about.
Yeah.
Look at Melissa. She's been alone for almost a year now.
And have you heard a happier person than Melissa Carter?
Yeah.
She's living in the munchkin land.
Living the dream. Hey, good luck.
Thanks for the advice, guys. I love you guys.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye. So sad for her.
It sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah, that was really sad.
Remember being 20? Oh, that was a stressful time.
You're just so learning about yourself, and you're willing to put up with so much crap, you know? But I think you got to go through these. That inevitably gets you to be the strong person, strong man, strong woman that you get to be. But getting through this stuff, it sucks.
Oh, sucks.
Blah. That's my universal this sucks sound. Blah. Hello, Jackie.
Hello. How are y'all?
He turns it around.
How are you?
Good. I love you guys.
Thank you.
I've been in this situation,
And the situation we're talking about, getting back to the Desperate Housewives thing, is being the other woman, and then he leaves the one he's currently with, you end up being the woman. Do you ever really have 100% trust in the guy?
Oh, well, yeah, because I was stupid. I mean, I was just absolutely stupid. And then it was a great relationship. We stayed married 8 years, and then at the end of the 8 years, we were separated and divorced for 60 days, and on the 62nd day, he remarried the woman that he was with when he met me.
Wow.
Okay, let me get the scorecard straight here. So he's married, he meets you, falls head over heels for you, drops his wife, ends up with you married, then divorces you for his first wife.
Absolutely. But he and his first wife have been separated for 2 months when we met. He was living completely apart from her and had already filed for divorce from her, you know, and it was over. And then, you know, it was, oh my God, you know, we're soulmates, you know, and it really felt like that.
So your angle is, you trusted him, but you shouldn't have.
Exactly. Because, like I said, 2 days after my divorce was final, he remarried her.
Can you imagine living in that guy's head where the grass is always greener on the other side? He's like, well, it really sucks now, so I'm going to get out and go over here. Well, this really sucks too, so I'm going to,
I think a lot of people live their life that way.
But the difference with him, he's never alone. You know what? He always got what he wanted.
Yeah.
The Burt Show.
So Desperate Housewives this weekend, that was a good one. Sunday was a really good one.
Every single show is a good one. It's my only appointment television. I love Desperate Housewives.
It seems like in this episode, every storyline, we got some nugget of information out that we didn't know before, you know? And the storyline with Lynette and her husband, Tom, I thought was a really interesting one. A really interesting one with a lot of interesting questions involved in it also.
Well, we found out this last episode that Tom started dating Lynette when he was cheating on his girlfriend, Annabelle. So Tom and this woman, Annabelle, are dating. He cheats on Annabelle with Lynette, ends up marrying Lynette. Now, so far, we don't know about any infidelity. Lynette knows about no infidelity with her husband, Tom. But she finds out in this episode that Tom has just rehired Annabelle at his company and did not tell Lynette about it for 3 months. So in Lynette's little diabolical plan is, you know, the whole cliche of keep your friends close, but keep your enemies closer. She invites Annabelle over for dinner.
And then she starts doing all sorts of ridiculous things to prove to the ex-girlfriend that their marriage is really, really strong. Mm. And her husband is like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
So this is quite a show you put on tonight.
Show.
The boys' paintings, all those references to how happy we are.
What's wrong with subtly reminding Annabelle that you're happily married?
Because it wasn't subtle, and it's an insult to me.
I did not mean it that way.
Are you so insecure that you have to pull that crap?
Keep your voice down.
It doesn't matter if she has feelings for me as long as I am not interested. Have I ever, ever given you any reason to doubt me?
Anyone is capable of anything. The first time we ever met, you were cheating.
With you. Cheating with you.
It's a pattern of behavior.
Ah, give me a break.
Well, what am I supposed to do? You hire your old girlfriend and you don't tell me about it for 3 months?
I could have told you from day one and you would still be jumping down my throat. No, Annabelle is ancient history.
She's in the next room.
How long do we have to be married, Lynette? How long until you actually trust me?
All right, so here's the question I want to ask women here. Because we've asked the question before in relationships that if your husband or your boyfriend ever screwed around on you, did you ever fully 100% trust him again? And you guys called up and you, I mean, have said like 100% of you said never quite entirely. Like we might have gotten back together again, our marriage survived and things are okay and things are actually great. But if he's just late, you know, by 30 seconds, I start thinking, okay, who's he screwing around with? So the trust was never quite restored. So here's a question in listening to that clip that I have for you women is that if at one point you used to be the other woman, so he was dating somebody else, saw you, was overwhelmed, and then started a relationship with you while he was still dating or married to somebody else, and then ended up dumping the current girlfriend for you. So you were the other woman, and things have worked out really well with you guys. Do you trust him 100% in your relationship? Because as Lynette says here, he's shown a pattern of infidelity. So do you ever fully trust the guy, you know?
Or were you just so special that it was destiny and then you were meant to be together despite the fact that someone else was there?
Because here he's saying, "I will, in your eyes, I will always be guilty of infidelity, even though you're the one I screwed around on." Now, I think if with. I'm him, I'm I think if I'm him, it's pretty easy to turn it around also. Because is she trustworthy?
She's the mistress. Yeah, she knew what she was getting into, too.
So she ended up screwing around with a guy that was in a relationship also, so he could say the exact same thing. So how would you answer that?
I don't know. That's hard to tell because you can't really blame somebody for something that they haven't done in your relationship. You know, you can't blame him for infidelity or be suspicious of activity that's never happened. But I wonder if that would always be nagging in your mind.
It would have to be.
It's always got to be there.
Because some people would look at that as his character. If he, you know, if he cheated before, if it didn't mean much to him before, even if it was me or not me, then it's a character flaw in him.
I have thought about it in relationship to Britney Spears and Kevin Federline. Because, you know, Kevin wasn't married to his, children's mother, Shar Jackson. They were just dating, but she was pregnant with his second child when he left her for Britney Spears. So I wonder now that Britney's pregnant, does she in the back of her mind consistently worry that Kevin Federline's going to leave her while she's pregnant? Because you know what? He did it before.
That's a great question. Hey, Marianne.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up?
Nothing. I have a story of my own about this. My boyfriend of 3 years, we met while he was dating somebody else. And I never thought we were going to end up together. I just thought, you know, he's really cute. So, and I knew about it. I knew about his girlfriend. And she moved away for a little while. He said he was going to wait for her, but we ended up dating. And we're together till this day. But we always have, like, problems in our relationship just because of that. Because I know that he did that. And he probably will do it again.
So even though you're the one he left her for. It doesn't matter. There's still distrust there.
That pattern of behavior that what's her face is talking about, Lynette?
All right, thank you. Good morning, Anna. You're on All the Hits Q100.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to let you guys know I had met a guy and he left the other woman for me.
Mm-hmm.
And we're happily together, just like your last caller. But you always have a little, you know, if he's out or whatever, you always kind of wonder, because if he left somebody else for you, he can always leave you for somebody else.
Now, do you think, I mean, because I want to ask you, since you were the other woman, do you feel like you're not as guilty as him because you weren't with somebody even though you were the mistress and knew what you were doing? Like, why should he trust you too?
Oh, and we've talked about it, you know, and I'm like, well, we each have our own issues, and if you can put yours aside, I can put mine aside. It's hard, but, you know, I'm not that special that he might not up and leave me one day, you know? I mean, she thought she was pretty special too, and then he left her, so you just never know. It's always kind of in the back of your mind.
Because to me, it's not necessarily a pattern of behavior of cheating as it is being really attracted to something new. There's kind of two levels there, you know, because you were the new thing. It was like new and fresh and exciting. And he was so overwhelmed by that new, fresh, exciting thing that he took off and went to it. So then once you become kind of old, you know, old news, not as new, not as fresh, not as exciting or whatever, and a little bit more comfortable, a little bit more routine, is he going to be attracted enough to the new, fresh, exciting thing to go leave you for?
It keeps you on your toes, definitely.
Well, it's good. Yeah. That's the way a healthy relationship should be. Everybody should be on edge.
Everybody should be paranoid,
nervous all the time.
So, what does it say about you, though? I mean, what?
I don't know. I've struggled with that. It kind of goes back to the whole, you know, I've talked about it with my older sister, and you know, she brings up the whole thing that I think Geller had on his show the other day, is cheating kind of a hereditary thing.
Mm.
And that's a whole other thing you guys probably don't even want to open up on your show, but
yeah,
it causes you need that heavy stuff together.
It causes you to step back and look at yourself, and, you know, yeah, I knew about the other woman, and, you know, I mean, I know other women feel like I do. Sometimes you just can't help it.
So I don't buy that. What do you mean sometimes you just can't help it?
Well, he wasn't married. I mean, he was seeing someone else, and they were having some problems, and, you know, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have been as attracted to him as I was, but, I mean, what I'm saying is when you know, you're attracted to somebody and you can't help it.
You give in to that is what you did. Is you gave in. You can definitely control it. I mean, married people do it all the time. You control who you're attracted to and who you're not. You know, I mean, that's what it's about. And
I don't think you can control that. I don't think you can control who you're attracted to. I think you make a decision on how you're going to handle it.
Exactly. Yeah. What, you know, whether you give in to those urges or not is what you can control.
Hey, Sally, you're on all the hits. Q100.
Bert, honey, be a little realistic. Obviously, every woman has her little insecurities and all her little issues with, you know, trusting a guy. It's just in general, even if that never even happened, any girl's going to, like, you know, be a little hesitant to trusting her boyfriend. Like me, it happened to me also.
Wait. Stop.
Your
basic premise is that every woman is nervous that her man is going to cheat on her. So it doesn't.
I mean, it's always in the back of everybody's mind, even with a guy. Like, a girl could be, you know, the dog in the relationship. But with me, it happened. When I first met, me and my boyfriend have been together 2.5 years now. When we first met, he never told me he had a girlfriend. He was still with her, and we were talking for a month, and we would be on the phone like all day, all night. So I don't even know when he had time for this girl. And, you know, we'd hang up the phone maybe like 2-3 hours out of the day, and then we'd be on the phone from like 8 o'clock at night till 6 in the morning. I had no clue he had a girlfriend. The thought never even crossed my mind. And then after a month, he told me, well, what would you say if I told you that I had a girlfriend? Are you the type of girl that, you know, this and that? And I was like, what the hell? You have a girlfriend? And he was like, kinda. It's been really bad for the last, you know, 6 months, so I don't really consider her my girlfriend. I was like, well, have you broken up with her yet? And he said no.
And you stayed with him.
What was that?
And you stayed with him.
You know what? That's my biggest regret, because if I would have known how I was still going to feel till this day, 2.5 years later, about that situation, I would have never, never, ever, ever put myself through the hell that I've been through the past 2.5 years, because it stays on my mind constantly. I'm always thinking that he's cheating on me. And now my situation's even worse, because he has to go out of town and he only comes to see me, you know, every weekend. He has to drive down a 3-hour drive to come see me every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no trust for him, and it's so hard for me. So I advise every girl out there that is in the situation to get out of it as soon as possible, because you never get over it, and it puts you through hell.
Do you think
the relationship's not going to last because you're going to be annoyed and not trusting him the whole time, and it's always going to be in the back of your mind.
Right.
Because it goes kind of back what the last caller said about you can't help it. I mean, I agree with Bert. I don't think you can help who you're attracted to, and those can be extremely powerful feelings, but you have to see through that. I mean, like, for her regret, like, if you know, someone who's not emotionally attached to somebody, if they said, oh, are you the kind of girl that minds if I'm dating somebody, like, all of us in here wince, like, well, what a jerk. But I mean obviously if you're in love with them, then you're, oh, well, you know, you'll do anything to stay with them.
Sally, if the basis for any healthy relationship, let's assume, is trust, and you don't have it with this guy, then why are you in the relationship for so long?
You know what, that's what I ask myself every day, and I've been going through so much crap lately, and it's killing me inside, and I don't even know what to do now. You know, it's hell. I mean, we've been going through problems the past couple of weeks that he's been absolutely disrespecting me. And it's not only a trust factor now. It's disrespect and the trust factor. So I don't even know what to do. I'm extremely confused at this point. And, I mean, I have nowhere to turn because I didn't move to Atlanta that long ago. And I have no friends, nobody to get me away from him. And my mind is constantly on him all the time. So I have to find something to do to get my mind off of him to, you know, just so I can move on. Because I know it's not going to work out. The trust issue's too strong.
Do you have children with this man?
No, no.
Mm-mm. No children with this man. And you're not engaged to him?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Are you engaged to him?
He wants to come speak with my father because where I'm from, it's like a respectful thing to come speak to the dad first and then get his approval and then give me a ring. Supposedly at the end of this month he wants to talk to my father, but
that's where everybody's from, honey. That's a respectful thing for everybody to do. But I think that you need to think about that before he makes that journey to see your father and propose the ring and all that other stuff. You gotta have a lot more respect for yourself than that.
Hey, I mean, you're going into this relationship, you marry this guy, you know it's gonna end up in a divorce, right?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like such a loser because I don't know what to do and I don't know how to move on and get over him.
It's okay to leave. I mean, the thing is, I think it's so funny how, and you know, I've done the same thing. You are in such turmoil and you say your life is hell. Well, you know what? If you left, it might get better because obviously where you are is not working.
Yeah,
I just keep giving myself excuses like, you know, I can't leave because I'm so lonely.
Well, just leave. Just leave. Like, to me, like, you know, instead of over, you know, like, just leave.
Be lonely for a little while.
Yeah, I mean it's okay.
Is the hell of being alone worse than what you're going through with this guy?
Probably not, but you know, it's my situation. I feel is a little different.
Why?
Because I work 24/7. I have no friends. I have nothing to do. You know, my parents are, you know, really, really strict. So I mean, I'm 20 years old and I can't do anything without.
Can I tell you why you have no friends? It's probably, I mean, you don't work 24 hours a day. What you do is you work a lot, and every single moment you spend away from work and sometimes during work is obsessing over this guy and pleasing this guy. If you're single and you have time and you take control of your life, guess what? You get friends. Yeah. And you get true friends.
I have not slept in about 4 days, and the bags under my eyes. I mean, I look sick. Everyone keeps asking me, you know, are you sick? Are you okay?
Do you realize do you hear yourself? I mean, the thing is, leave.
He doesn't have any respect for you because you're not respecting yourself.
Yeah, so
you're not taking care of yourself.
I know that.
You can do it. You can do it.
It's okay.
You're 20 years old. You got your whole life ahead of you. And somebody's going to be head over heels in love with you and have absolutely no doubt in their mind they want to be with you.
Yeah. It's okay. I mean, really, once you leave, your life's not going to fall apart. The problem is your life's falling apart now.
It's so hard to be strong, isn't it?
Extremely hard.
It's so easy to be weak.
But at this point, I'm not even sure if it's real love or if I'm just used to him. And I want to just get over him. I want something to happen. I want to, like, be put in a coma or something just so I can forget this guy ever existed in my life.
You know what? This is a part of life, you know? And the thing is, like, if you have to learn that if you're even questioning whether it's real love, then it's not. You know? Like, you really don't love this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's okay to be single, and it's okay to go make new friends, and it's okay to go hang out with new people. It's okay.
And you know what? Like, everybody's been there. Like, I remember being so insecure when I was with women, thinking, well, if I leave her, nobody's going to dig me as much as she does. There's no way I'm ever going to find somebody else like that. And I look back at it now, and I kind of laugh at it, because there's a million people out there that are going to dig you, you know?
Yeah, ladies, don't let the fear of being alone be the reason that you stay in a terrible relationship, because that's not what relationships should be about.
Yeah.
I mean look at Melissa. She's been alone for almost a year now.
And have you heard a happier person than Melissa Carter?
Yeah.
She's like living in the munchkin land.
Living the dream.
Hey,
good luck.
Thanks for the advice, guys. I love you guys.
All right, bye-bye.
All
right,
bye.
So sad
for her.
It sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah. That was really sad.
Remember being 20? Oh, that was a stressful time.
You're just so learning about yourself, and you're willing to put up with so much crap, you know? But I think you got to go through these. That inevitably gets you to be like the strong person, strong man, strong woman that you get to be. But getting through this stuff, it sucks.
Sucks.
Blah. That's my universal this sucks sound. Blah. Hello, Jackie.
Hello. How are you?
And how quickly he turns it around.
How are you?
Good. I love you guys.
Thank you.
I've been in this situation, been in this exact situation.
And the situation we're talking about, getting back to the Desperate Housewives thing, is being the other woman, and then he leaves the one he's currently with, you end up being the woman. Do you ever really have, 100% trust in the guy?
Oh, well, yeah, because I was stupid. I mean, I was just absolutely stupid. And then we ended, I mean, it was a great relationship. We stayed married 8 years. And then at the end of the 8 years, we were separated and divorced for 60 days. And on the 62nd day, he remarried the woman that he was with when he met me.
Wow.
Okay, let me get the scorecard straight here. So he's married. Oh. He meets you, falls head over heels for you, drops his wife, ends up with you married, then divorces you for his first wife.
Absolutely. But he and his first wife have been separated for 2 months when we met. He was living completely apart from her and had already filed for divorce from her, you know, and it was over. And then, you know, it was, oh my God, you know, we're soulmates, you know, and it really felt like that.
So your angle is, yeah, you trusted him, but you shouldn't have.
Exactly. Exactly. Because like I said, 2 days after my divorce was final, he remarried her.
Can you imagine living in that guy's head where the grass is always greener on the other side? He's like, well, it really sucks now, so I'm going to get out and go over here. Well, this really sucks too, so I'm going to, I mean.
I think a lot of people live their life that way.
But the difference with him, he's never alone. You know what? He always got what he wanted.
Yeah.
The Burt Show. The Burt Show.